Hello and a very warm welcome to Coffee in Palestine. I'm Nell Burden. Today I'm in Abu Dis, which is in the centre of the West Bank. And right now I'm in the heart of the industrial zone. I've come to a local factory to find out precisely how the Palestinians are replacing all Israeli products in the shops with their own brands. I spoke to the factory director about the importance of Palestinian products on the market.
Now we used two type of means for marketing our dairy products in all West Bank cities and Gaza. Recently we've deprived from sending our products to Gaza due to the systematic procedure that been imposed to us by the Israelis during passing the goods through the gate, the trade gates. So we have two means of distribution. One is by depending on professional agents whom are distributed in all Palestinian governorate. And the second way is by direct distribution, that we use our own truck, refrigerated truck, for distribution of our product to our customers.
So they were literally being held at the trade gates?
That's why.
For how long, for example?
For 1 week, so the longest one, since the year 2006. But when there is also any security disorders, they also close it for unannounced appointment. So we cannot plan our daily movement on a clear situation.
Now, just to inform you, this program is actually about the boycott movement that's taking place not only through the West Bank, but also internationally. And what we'd really like to know is, has this made a difference actually to your projections and figures this year? Are you essentially making more products for the West Bank because there's more boycott of Israeli goods?
We note that during the last month that there is a significant increase in the sales, which is exceeded in many cases 30%. But we still need more focus from the Palestinian community on the Palestinian products. We still need more.
So you said that there's an increase of 30% in sales?
In total.
Since when?
Since the 1st of late July until now.
So actually as a direct impact from the Gaza war?
It is. It could be considered as a direct impact because people are aware and need to perform the boycott on Israeli products. Mm. And we note that in fresh milk, very noticeable, in the other products, very, very fast.
Mohammed Al-Sous, thank you very much for joining us. And what I'd like you to do now is come and show me the factory itself.
So this is the laboratory, which is responsible totally for the testing, chemical, physical tests for all raw material that enter to the company, and also responsible for preparation of the starter culture, preparation of everything.
We're about to go into the processing area, hence the clothing. So it's very important they maintain extremely strict hygiene inside of this area.
Yes, please.
Now we are in the main processing area. Uh-huh. This is the first machine which is considered as the core of the factory, which is the pasteurizer. Milk being after it's checked, all the physical and chemical tests, and then accepted by the quality assurance,
So it came to for standardizing and then pasteurizing and then moved to the culturing vat, as you see there.
Yes.
Type of products that we need. Mm-hmm. And then down to the filling machine and the filling line.
Brand new product now.
It's not brand new. This is one of the products that that considered as Hamouda product.
Right.
There's no single Palestinian dairy producer could have produced that, and there is no Israeli producer could have compete with the quality of this product.
As he asked me to help pack the products, he explained that dairy goods are the best litmus test to show Palestinian products replacing Israeli products on the market. As they are perishable items, these are generally the first Palestinian goods in demand by supermarkets as a direct result of the boycott. Furthermore, he explained that all products under Israeli law have to also be marked in Hebrew alongside Arabic.
Try and give us your impression about this product, which is considered as one of our pioneering product. That no Palestinian dairy being capable to produce it, and also no Israeli producer could have compete this from the point of quality and also from the point of packaging system.
And
please.
Actually, considering the Israeli products are flooding the market, particularly in the West Bank, obviously I've tasted many Israeli products, so
you have a chance to compare them.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that's good to see and to witness also the processing in order to to reflect our ideas and our message to other consumers.
So actually, it's the quality and the taste that you hope will make people literally just change the way they shop, the way they consume here, and start to buy Palestinian products. Sure.
To see how quickly supermarkets have responded to the boycott, I came to the city of Ramallah to see the direct impact on the supermarket shelves.
The supermarket is currently in a transitionary process. As you can see from the empty shelves, they're getting rid of their Israeli products, replacing them with Palestinian. However, they're still trying to sell off some Israeli products. But as you can see, they've been marked with boycott stickers. So it seems unlikely that any conscientious shoppers are likely to buy Israeli products.
First of all, the reason behind it is that it is basic idea of it's wrong that buying from the your occupation, and with the recent events in Gaza and Gaza war, it showed us again that we have to stop buying the Israeli products. And us as Bravo Store, we have to stop selling it to people so that they won't buy.
مجمل البضاعة 80% من البضاعة تنباع إسرائيلية والعربي غير يعني مش مطلوب كتير. فشغلة المقاطعة وشغلة أمور غزة اللي حصلت مع الحرب على غزة الناس توجهت كتير لشغلة المقاطعة. فإحنا كنا سباقين في هذا الموضوع. فبلشنا نخفف من البضاعة الإسرائيلية ونضع محلها أي إشي بديل عربي. الفترة الأخيرة يعني قوة شغلة المقاطعة عند الناس نفسهم عند الزبائن عند الكاستمرز نفسهم
It was very difficult because first of all you need substitutes, and to get the substitutes here you need to go through a lot of bureaucratic procedures within DPA. Also it needs procedures from the Israeli side if you want to have, if you want to import them. Also with the Palestinian products there was no substitutes for Israeli ones, and they just started to produce them.
يعني احنا من الاول بدنا نقاطع, ولكن كان الزبون يطلب البضاعه الاسرائيليه بثقه اكثر من البضاعه العربيه, ولكن البضاعه الاسرائيليه فيها ثقه او فيها متوجه. اليوم الزبون نفسه بتوجه انه انا بديش البضاعه الاسرائيليه. اليوم جيل الشباب, جيل الصغير, اولاد المدارس, اولاد الست سنين وسبع سنين بيقول لابوه انا ما بدي البضاعه الاسرائيليه.
With the Israeli products, the future plan is that we are not going to buy any more Israeli products. And with the products we currently have, if they will expire, we are so we can put them in the trash.
Campaign for BDS, they've issued stickers to show the consumers that a large percentage of their purchase of Israeli goods funds the occupation itself, from the wall to settlement construction and housing demolitions.
Omar Barghouti, thank you very much for joining us today for Coffee in Palestine. Now, it's my understanding that you were one of the founding members of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement. Can you just give us an update from how it started very briefly and to where we've got now?
Sure. The Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement, or BDS, started in 2005 with a call from Palestinian society issued by the absolute majority among Palestinians. Political parties, trade unions, women's unions, refugee networks, NGO networks, and so on, youth, and so on. We specifically called for ending the occupation, ending Israel's system of racial discrimination, which amounts to apartheid, and recognizing the right of return for Palestinian refugees as the three basic conditions without which we cannot exercise self-determination. To achieve that, we called for boycotting, divesting, and sanctioning Israel in all fields, academic, cultural, economic, and military. Since 2005 till now, so 9 years later, we've achieved far more than we had expected 9 years ago. In fact, in the last year, year and a half, we've reached a new qualitative level, if you will, a tipping point of sort, not the tipping point, but a tipping point.
Well, this actually leads to my next question, because actually we've seen marches throughout Europe, huge rallies of up to 150,000 people. But it seems that the governments, particularly in Europe and especially in America, are still using the old rhetoric of Israel needs to protect its own security. So do you believe that these mass demonstrations are actually making any form of difference? And are you linking them to the boycott movement?
Since the BDS movement started in 2005, we've been planting seeds. That's our strategy. We plant seeds, we keep nourishing them until they grow into trees and we collect the harvest. But you can never tell when you'll collect the harvest. You keep nourishing and nourishing with patience until something happens. And in fact, we've been raising awareness about the need for Palestinians in the occupied territories also to impose a boycott as much as we can. We cannot boycott everything Israeli. We are a captive economy. We're completely controlled by Israel. Thanks to decades of occupation, Israel has devastated our economy, our industry, our agriculture, leading to this complete reliance almost on the Israeli economy. But there are many, many areas where we can be a bit more autonomous and independent of Israeli products, pharmaceuticals, some food products, and many, many other aspects. With the current massacre in Gaza, already there was a consciousness about the need for boycott, but hardly any effective campaigns. With the massacre, people turned their energies into boycott as the first response to the massacres, not just street protests. That was the beauty of it, that immediately with street protests came calls for boycott. And we saw many, many, tens, literally tens of grassroots campaigns, youth, women, workers, farmers, going to supermarkets on their own initiative. This wasn't controlled by any political party. And then political parties joined into the action, and then it became really a culture of resistance, revival of a culture of resistance that we've really missed.
Okay, final question, and it's very quickly. You're talking about Israel being extremely worried about the boycott movement. There have been counter movements and the boycott, particularly very recently in Hollywood. Are the BDS concerned about these?
Actually, we welcome those counter movements by Israel. The fact that Israel has allies in Hollywood is no secret. Everyone knows Israel's immense influence in Hollywood through Zionist institutions there. We have no doubt that Israel can mobilize its troops in Hollywood in a flash. The fact that Israel had to, felt compelled to mobilize its Hollywood troops shows weakness, not strength. It shows that there's a crack in the wall even in Hollywood, the ivory tower of all towers. Hollywood is cracking. There is increasing dissent. We've seen 100 artists in Spain, including Penelope Cruz, Javier Bardem, and some of the major Oscar winners in Spain, come out and say what Israel is doing in Gaza is genocide. We've seen many artists tweeting Free Palestine, some top musicians, top artists, top Hollywood figures. There's a crack in the wall. So Israel felt really threatened in one of its last citadels, so to speak. One of its last garrisons. If Hollywood cracks, then there's no telling where the end might be.
Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us for Coffee in Palestine today.
A few miles away and through an Israeli checkpoint, I reached the village of Oda, see economic advisor Dr. Adil Samara.
Dr. Adil Samara, thank you very much for joining us today for Coffee in Palestine, and welcome once again for our show. I'd just like to start by asking about the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. First of all, how economically viable is this in the West Bank, particularly when it comes to helping farmers and Palestinian industry?
First of all, we have to return back to the first intifada, because the first experience of intifada was very productive. It led the people to go back to land, to reclaim land, and also to make some form of medium industry, if you like. That's why if this trend will continue as it was before in the first intifada, and to a certain extent to the second intifada, this means that the local production or the domestic production will be increased mainly in agriculture and also in manufacturing, especially agribusinesses, if you like. But in addition to that, and the main and most important side of this activity is that as long as you are boycotting, you are developing. It is related to development. Directly, to boycott, then you have to produce what you might be able to do or to produce. And also it is related to other point that, we have or we will try to import from the countries which produce the same products which we are importing from the Zionist regime. And also with the prices and with wages, which is similar to prices and wages in our country, not according to the, world market value of prices and costs.
Okay, so this is if we look at this towards a long-term strategy as boycott, not only when it comes to a war on Gaza or a certain offensive, if this is kept up long-term, what's the kind of outcome we can see? Can we see a percentage rise in Palestinian farms going back to work? So we know this economy is being crippled essentially by the occupation.
Yeah, for sure, if this strategy will continue in the medium run, if you like, not only in the first run, it will be very, very productive for the Palestinians. It will employ a lot of Palestinian people in their in the new industries and reclaimed land. But at the same time also that something should happen from the government, which is, easy loans should be given to the farmers so as to continue, because as you see that this land is not reclaimed. And a lot of people were working as workers inside the Zionist economy. Now, to let the peasants to do or to reclaim or to go to land, some of them needs, loans, if you like, easy loans, if you like, without too much, interest.
BDS movement have seen great success locally and internationally. They say they still have a long way to go. During the Gaza crisis, they released this video to show the direct relationship between buying Israeli goods and funding the Gaza war. Demonstrations are continuing locally and internationally to pressurize all communities to boycott, divest, and sanction all Israeli goods. Thank you.